We always do two or three for the working man, but this is really the working man's song, one called The Working Man Blues. It's a big job getting by with nine kids and a wife. Yeah, but I've been a working man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working. As long as my two hands are fit to use. Bit of these working man blues. Well, I keep my nose on the grindstone, work hard every day. I might get a little tired on the weekend after I draw my pay, but I go back working. Come Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew. I drink a little beer that evening and sing a little bit of these working man blues.
Well, with just a week until the election day, the Ku Klux Klan appears to be ramping up its effort to get GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump in the White House. Residents of Alabama, Georgia, Kansas, and Louisiana have been reported finding flyers from the KKK outside their homes in recent days. The materials contain calls for people to vote and join the organization as it tackles hot-button social issues with exactly the level of contemplation you might expect from a racist hate group. Please join and help us take our country back, reads a flyer recently distributed in Madison, Alabama. Black Lives Matter. Black Panthers are telling followers to kill white people and police officers in the name of justice for killing Negroes by policemen in the line of duty. These Negroes were not innocent. They were thugs breaking the law and standing up against the police. Well, this is typical of the KKK. When I was a Klan leader in California, I opposed Ronald Reagan for president. Of course, I was the only one that did. The whole right wing, they always go down the wrong path. Not that who he was running against was any good. But you got to understand, Reagan's a war criminal, and Reagan did a lot of very corrupt things, and I will not fall into that trap with these people. But they're easy to get going. All you have to do is hang a piece of meat in front of them, and they'll take off on it. So they're all excited about Donald Trump. And I doubt whether any of them know much about Donald Trump, or anybody else for that matter. Anyhow, so goes the right wing. If there's anything you can do wrong, they'll do it. Not to be outdone, we've got David Duke back in the show, building his mailing list again, running for Senate. I know a lot of you people out there think that David Duke's okay, but I can assure you he's not.
The only man the media hates more than Donald Trump is me, David Duke. But they may give him my most hated by the media award. They hate Trump and me because we oppose the massive immigration that will destroy America. We vow to protect American jobs and industry. We defend our heritage. Trump even says we should say Merry Christmas instead of the PC garbage. The media says he sounds like me, but you know what? We both simply sound like you. Vote for Trump for president, David Duke for the U.S. Senate, and let's take America back.
Oh, yes, David. I remember you back when in the early 70s when I was putting men on the border and Louis Beam was putting men on the border and patrol cars and doing something physical. And we asked you to come to the West Coast to support our move against illegal aliens. And you ask, well, what for? Because all you ever talked about was blacks. Yeah, remember that? When I almost had to physically threaten your life to get you out to California and paid your plane ticket? Remember that, David? Take that money you were going to waste on David Duke and buy food, buy ammunition, a certain amount of guns, not too many, and be ready. Because it's not going to be solved at the ballot box, or it's not going to be solved by a David Duke or a Donald Trump.
The big game changer is that 5G will use much higher frequency bands than previously thought viable for mobile broadband and other applications. Such millimeter wave signals have physical properties that are both a limitation and a strength. They tend to travel best in narrow and straight lines, and they do not go through physical objects as well. But brilliant engineers have developed new antennas that can aim and amplify signals. Now, to make this work, the 5G build-out is going to be very infrastructure intensive, requiring massive deployment of small cells. I'm confident that the actions will lead to a cornucopia of unanticipated, innovative uses and will generate tens of billions of dollars in economic activity. And that's damn important because it means that U.S. companies will be the first out of the gate. And that is why 5G is a national priority. And stay out of the way of technological development. Unlike some countries, we do not believe that we should spend the next couple of years studying what 5G should be or how it should operate. The future has a way of inventing itself. Turning innovators loose is far preferable to expecting committees and regulators to define the future. We won't wait for the standards. We're already seeing industry gearing up to seize this opportunity. Verizon and AT&T tell us they'll begin deploying 5G trials in 2017, and the first commercial deployments they're talking about are expected in 2020. And we're not done. As part of our July 14 action, we also plan to ask for comments on opening up other high-frequency bands. Many of the high-frequency bands that we will make available for 5G currently have some satellite users, as well as some Defense Department applications, or at least the possibility of future satellite and defense users. This means sharing will be required between satellite and terrestrial wireless, an issue that is especially relevant in the 28 gigahertz band. But if anyone tells you that they know the details of what 5G is going to become, run the other way. If something can be connected, it will be connected. Hundreds of billions of microchips connected in products from pill bottles to plant waterers. We must reject the notion that the 5G future will be the sole provenance of urban areas. The 5G revolution will touch all corners of our country. A lot more antenna siting decisions by local governments and tightened our shot clock for siting application reviews. America's local governments will play an important role in determining how we fulfill this national priority. You can be sure of only one thing. The biggest Internet of Things application has yet to be imagined. Tens of billions of dollars in economic activity. And that's damn important. Ask a question. We'll start with you.
Sir, needn't egg me on this one. Moments ago, I was attempting to talk to some people who came to attend the meeting and have concerns about radiation and 5G. And one of your security force intervened, told the guy he couldn't show me the T-shirt that he had wished to display at the meeting, forced him to put it away, and confiscated my FCC-issued ID. Is this consonant with the discussion that ought to be taking place here, and what's your reaction to this action by your staff?
First time, Todd. I mean, obviously, this is an open meeting, you know, and I'm sure that if your credentials have been mistakenly taken, you will get them back. But there is a responsibility for everybody who comes here to behave responsibly. Becomes the first country in the world to identify and open up vast amounts of high-frequency spectrum for 5G networks and applications. This is the most significant step yet. And our BDS proceeding is dealing with that issue.
Hey, Tom, with the
FCC
study showing wireless causes cancer subthermally, how can you proceed with more wireless expansion with our 60 standards only recognizing thermal effects, ignoring past studies showing cancerous effects, neurological effects, reproductive harm, immune...
Lydia, do you have a question?
I do have a question, Mr.
Okay,
Chairman.
Okay, I'll answer your question, Lydia.
Lydia Bayoud, Bloomberg BNA.
For the 5G being rolled out. We tried to hold up a sign and inform them about wireless radiation causes cancer. Before they were making their decision, the sign was taken away from us. I then tried to grab a shirt out of my bag just to hold that up, sitting in my seat very, very innocently, and the head of security there threatened me and tried to grab my shirt, and we kind of struggled with that.
So you didn't even get the shirt out of your bag, or you, it wasn't even displayed yet or anything? And the guy was just
on. Sign wasn't displayed. Shirt wasn't displayed. He was really, really quite on us. And he watched us the rest of the time. We're sitting right in front of us, just like a hawk, and threatened to kick us out many, many times.
Wow. So what happened when Todd, the journalist, came over to talk to you?
Okay, so the hearing, actually, they vote, and the hearing's over. It's recessed, and people are just talking and hanging out before there's a press conference starting in about, I think it was about 15 minutes later.
Okay.
So one of the members of the press came over to ask us what happened because they were near where they took away the sign. The woman who was holding up the sign was explaining what it said, and I actually was talking to some of the media already, and I saw her talking with that media, and I walked over. And he asked me, you know, what was on the sign, and I told him. And then he asked me, I hear they wanted to take your shirt. What was on that? And I said, oh, I'll show it to you. And I reached into my bag to grab the shirt to show it to him. Now, mind you, the meeting's over, and we're just sitting around. And the director of security came over, said if I take the shirt out of the bag, he'll throw me out once again. And the reporter explained I was just answering his question. I was just showing it to him. And he told the reporter if I took that shirt out, he would throw me out and the reporter.
Wow.
And this is a reporter from Bloomberg who reports from Bloomberg News. And he reminded the director of security who he was. And he again told him he would kick him out. And then the reporter asked for his name and position and wrote it down. And they went back and forth. And eventually he took away his press credential. The T-shirt said, and it's kind of relevant to being here in Cleveland for the Republican National Convention, LeBron James had a salivary gland tumor where he holds his cell phone. Who's next? And on the back it said, World Health Organization classifies microwave radiation as a class 2B carcinogen. So that's the one, that was the one, the T-shirt. And I think it's important because it shows the power of the media to control information and dialogue about this issue. Because most people don't know that LeBron James had a salivary gland tumor removed from his jaw, and it took 6 hours to get out of his jaw, and could have killed him in the operation, but it was a non-malignant tumor, so he went on, and it was right after the playoffs in 2009. And in there's two articles. If people Google LeBron James spring surgery, you'll find the two articles. But in one of them, it says at the end, "How come no one else is writing about this issue? If this guy wears the wrong T-shirt, it's international news. This guy had a tumor that could have killed him, and no one's talking about it." So it shows the power of the media to control this. And what's really sad is, after he had this tumor, he became a sponsor for Samsung cell phones, and now he's a big promoter of Beat wireless headsets, exposing more young children to wireless radiation to the head, and possibly causing the same kind of salivary gland tumor that he had.
And you can bet that that's by design, right? However many tens of millions of dollars he got for that contract was a little bit of insurance on their part, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think they... And that's what I was going to mention before, is I don't think they seep into this. I think there's a very conscious effort and plan to fund the people that might cause problems. I think they go to the PTA. We had a problem getting and to the PTA and talking about this issue. They kicked us out of the conference, and we were paid exhibitors because they helped fund that conference. And with all these wireless projects, people need to understand everyone gets paid on them. You know, if city puts in wireless, they get extra money for other technology projects. Everyone along the way gets a piece of it, and everyone stays quiet as a result. And in the end, our health is being sold out, sold down the road, and sometimes not for very much, sometimes pennies per person when you consider a national contribution. I mean, Tom Wheeler delivered a campaign contribution of $700,000 to President Obama, and then he was nominated chairman of the FCC about a month later.
Yeah.
You break that down per person, it's just pennies.
Are they scared of the truth coming out about the harm that 5G is going to cause on wireless? Is that, I mean, this big NTP government-sponsored $25 million study just came out, right, last month. And so what's happening with regards to that? Is that why they're going to these draconian measures?
You ask why they're not answering questions, why they're afraid to talk to us. And that's exactly the question I asked Commissioner Riley. You know, he came off the stage. He was the last to speak. And he came off the stage, and I just went towards him. Immediately, the security guy was jumping in between us. And but, you know, I was not moving. Security guy could not move, so O'Reilly could not move, so I could speak. And then I told him, I mean, why you're not answering my question? Why you're not... I mean, I'm the public, I'm the taxpayer, I'm paying your salary. How come you're not answering my questions? What is it that you're hiding? What are you afraid of? Answer the question. Just answer the question.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was silent. And that, yeah. So, I mean, they're clearly aware of the NTP study. They're clearly aware of so many people getting sick. They're clearly aware that they have been lying to the public for decades. They're clearly aware that there are thousands of research papers proving that this technology harms. So there's no way they're not aware of that. So they know that. Why they're doing it? I mean, how can someone be that evil? I cannot understand. And do I think that they're now moving forward very fast because of the studies? It's very high likelihood. I do think that they know, and our presence there was another indication to that, that we're not going to be silent anymore. Science is becoming more and more loud on this. Scientists are becoming more loud. This is bound to explode. And so I guess they do understand that if they move forward fast, it would be much more difficult to take things backwards. So could be. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a mind reader, but yeah, could be. The whole event was very, very sad portray of how things work, how government executive act, on how industry control things and how the public health is being ignored and how the public interests are being ignored by interest parties. Very, very sad portrayal.
Isn't it amazing how an industry talking head like Tom Wheeler, chairman of the FCC, would dare to call out someone who's taking a T-shirt out of his bag to voice a concern about what the agency is doing, call that as irresponsible, right?
If your credentials have been mistakenly taken, you will get them back. But there is a responsibility for everybody who comes here to behave responsibly.
Meanwhile, they're set to roll out technology, which is going to harm everyone on ways in which, you know, we don't even know, but the science is really clear that it's unbelievable. Like the doublespeak, the Orwellian, you know,
it's crazy. This is, you know, I speak every day, hours, to people, adults and children, whose lives just got destroyed by the coming to this technology. I speak to children who want to commit suicide and die. And, you know, it's very difficult, those conversations. And it's also very difficult because many times I cannot do more to help. And it's just a very, very, you feel like constant heavy weight on your shoulders, on your heart. Like sometimes I speak to people, I cannot breathe. And because I don't know how to help. But living with electrosensitivity, and I was severely electrosensitive, and living with, you know, people's stories every day and night, it's difficult. But for me personally, more difficult is seeing how this lie has been perpetuated so successfully, how people can harm other people in such an evil way. And I'm sorry to say, this is pure evil. And the fact that this technology is so amazing, and I loved this technology before I got sick, and I still think that if it was not harmful, it is the most amazing technology, and it can be so useful for humans. But when you know what it does, and use all kind of slogans, smarts, to get people addicted and into it, and when you know what it does and how sick it makes people and how it destroys children's lives and the future hunt, there's no other word to describe this except evil. So this is, for me, the more difficult thing to, like, I can handle the stress of being sick, of the stress of the other sick people. The fact that this evil can happen is very difficult for me. And, you know, I'm Jewish, and, you know, we all carry that heavy weight of the Holocaust. And since I was a child, I was constantly, you know, it had a huge impact on my life. Mm-hmm. And for many, in various ways. And I remember I always wanted to, I mean, what you learn from it is that bad things can happen when people are silent.
Yeah.
When people comply, when people don't stand up to evil. And this is my message, really. I mean, we all have to stand up, and we all have to show huge determination. We're fighting really strong forces, and we are very small compared to them. But it's maybe a cliche, but, you know, it only takes to put light in the room is one candle to take away the darkness. And everyone has to stand up and stop be afraid. Stop waste your
entrance into this.
So my background is as a medical social worker, and when I was in the hospitals, I saw young salesmen, lawyers coming in with brain tumors and healthy otherwise, other than the tumor, and doctors asking them about their cell phone use. So I was clued in very early with these heavy users and the tumors it was causing. And then I had several colleagues of mine develop brain tumors in their 30s and very healthy individuals otherwise. Another colleague who developed a tumor in her breast, where she put the phone in her bra and she lost her breast. And then I was working in my school district, and they're planning on rolling out school-wide Wi-Fi, and I had done the research because of my colleagues getting sick, and I knew it was a bad thing, and I started fighting with a school district not to do it and go wired instead of wireless. And I fought almost 3 years providing them the information they needed to make a good decision, and was simply ignored by the teachers union at Los Angeles Unified School District and by the school board at Los Angeles Unified School District. And I couldn't get the parents rallied as well, although I didn't have the resources really to do that. And it's really sad because now I'm hearing from Los Angeles Unified School District teachers that they're getting electrosensitive, developing neurological symptoms, and other teachers developing cancer about a year after they put in the new Wi-Fi, because it's a very schools are now our most dangerous places to be. You have 20 to 40 wireless transmitters in their iPads and wireless laptops, and then you have two to three, in LA Unified, three commercial-grade wireless routers per room, and then you have each room with the same thing, and it all multiplying. So you have really the setting of the most significant exposure in our country, and the most vulnerable population being exposed are small children, which we know are 3 to 4 times as sensitive to all environmental hazards.
I think more and more researchers, doctors, parents, and those who are in the position of power to do something about this are beginning to realize this. But this is, I mean, what's happening to our kids, and what the electromagnetic radiation, the proliferation of it is causing. I mean, everything up until this point really could potentially only be the tip of the iceberg, right? With this rollout, this planned rollout of 5G, which was just approved.
Yeah, we are microwaving our population and wondering why our cancer is going through the roof, and people aren't feeling as well, and chronic disease is going through the roof. It's really very sad.
So we want to basically make it really clear, if you're watching this and if you want to do something about this, go to the link that's at the end of this video. It's going to be a bunch of information, links, and specifically an action link for you to take right now. It's going to be at the top of the section beneath this video. So, Kevin, I want to thank you so much for everything you're doing. Thanks for your time and speaking to us today. And we wish you, the section beneath this video. So, Kevin, I want to thank you so much for everything you're doing. Thanks for your time and speaking to us today. And we wish you, the success in continuing to be among the front lines of those getting this truly life-saving information out to everyone.
Yeah, and as a closing statement, I really beg people to take action. And even if you don't see the link at the end of the website, you know where all the congressmen are, the House of Representatives, the Senate. You know where all the committees are. Go. Educate them. Go like the wireless industry goes time after time. Go to the FCC. The FCC, I think, is visited 500 times per year, and it's like twice a day, you figure, on average, by the industry. And, you know, we have our information. We need to go as well. But especially to our representatives, who are supposed to represent us and protect us, they need to see that it's a glaring problem. And what you will see is that they're getting sick as well. I spoke to Congressman Grayson from Florida, and while I was talking to him, one of his staffers, Joe, came up to me and said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I'm talking about wireless cell phones causing brain tumors." He said, "That's interesting, because I had a brain aneurysm and I'm lucky to be alive." And then he said, "It's also interesting because my buddy just died from a brain tumor." So, you know, they're heavy users up here, and wow. You'll find that, you know, they're suffering too, and we need to build on that, because we're past the point of potential harm. We're at the point of harm. You know, it's 10 to 15 years for tumor growth. We're there as a group, and we're doing nothing but making it worse. So people are definitely getting sick, and you need to ask them, you know, does your face tingle when you use your cell phone? Do your hands tingle when you use cell phone? Do you have difficulty sleeping? Have you ever gotten nauseous using the phone? Do you feel funny when you're around Wi-Fi or getting close to it? And you'll be surprised. People are getting sick. For instance, I spoke to Congressman Rush. Congressman Rush had a salivary gland tumor, which Israel has associated with cell phone use. Mm-hmm. I spoke to one staff office, and one of the staff members, a very young woman, went by me with a cane. Mm-hmm. And I said, "I don't mean to be nosy," because we were done talking. "I don't mean to be nosy, but what's wrong with you?" She says, "I have this rare immune system disorder, and it's basically eating my spine." And I said, "Well, you should look at reducing your wireless, your wireless radiation exposure," mm-hmm. because for some people it makes the immune system just go berserk. And it could save your life, and it's a relatively easy thing to do to reduce your exposure. Mm-hmm. And she listened to me, and she says, you know, I'll think about that. It never hurts to reduce my exposure. So
yeah,
we need to reach out and educate this community, and we need to do it now. Time is gone. Time to wait is over. We need to stop this before they auction this spectrum. You need to go, whether it's by yourself or with others. You need to go.
Yeah. Thank you. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Need to look into this stuff about cell phones, because almost everybody's got one. I very rarely use mine. But this 5G, you got to get on the internet and find out about this 5G new communications program that the FCC has now approved. And it's supposed to be even more dangerous than the regular cell phone service. The way it sounds, you're better off to go back to wired service instead of Wi-Fi. I know I've got the wires in my place here, and I think I'm going to, because I got on Wi-Fi not long ago, or I've been on it before, but I think I'm going to get rid of the Wi-Fi. I did this show in several little chunks. You know me, so I'm going to put them together and send them out to you. I'm not quite sure how long it's going to be, but you're going to get it, baby. That's it for today. I don't like that idea of white national socialists and black and Hispanic socialists and nationalists. Can very well agree on that. Well, you got to be careful. There's a slippery slope there, too. I do agree that with Clinton in the White House, it would radicalize whites much more easily, and even others against her or her regime. So Trump is going to have even if Trump is honest, he's going to have a hell of a time trying to get Congress to do anything. And especially, and also the Democrats in the White House, so forth, and the Congress and the Senate. They got a million ways of blocking him. So I agreed, let Hillary take it down. And all these half-lukewarm right-wing whites will become far more radicalized. I think. I hope. We always have to think beyond a little bit, out into the future. There's no doubt that Trump cannot turn things around like he says he's going to turn things around. Like I said before, there's a million ways to stop him, and they'll do it too. But I just don't think he's serious. I think he's going to maybe do some of the things that might make right wing happy, but I don't think he's going to begin to do all the things he talked about. I mean, what good would it do to build a wall on the border? They're coming in through the airports all over the country. I mean, most of them now are not coming across the border. And why would you want to put up a wall that would block them, us getting them out? Unless you have swinging doors on it. You got to have access to get them out. They're all in here now. Well, not all, but the ones across the border. There's not near as many Mexicans crossing the border and even South Americans as through the airports. Those are primarily Middle Eastern people, Asian people, and so forth. How much border patrol do you have at LAX? I think some, but very little, not near enough. Let's not build a wall till we get them rounded up and shipped out. Here's another guy on the right wing. The number one question the American patriots, and I hate that word, are consistently failing to ask is why they are being so treasonous to their own best interest. Well, in many cases they always have down through history. As to neglect setting up a political party of their own. Oh yeah, how many times have we heard that? I was involved in that way back in the 70s, like the America First Party and instead keep wasting their votes on the parties and politicians known to be owned and controlled by their worst enemies. By definition, this is suicidal conduct. Well, working for a minor party that's going nowhere, unless it's a revolutionary party, is a waste of time, too. You're better off to boycott and not to vote at all. Spend your time building a rebellion or revolution, a war against the ruling class. And don't forget, beware of these right-wing, super anti-Jew blogs. They go way, way overboard on the Jew question and do not attack, really, the corrupt upper class of the white race who are selling us out. They couldn't sell us out unless they had the ruling class on their side. So I see several of these cropping up that are just on and on, Jews do everything bad, and on attacking the Jews. Not that the Jews don't deserve a lot of attack, but when they go too far, methinks thou protest too much. Be careful, especially find out who the people are who are running these things. They never put their names on them. I always put my name on everything I put out. Well, ISIS terrorist group is trying to convince its followers abroad to become serial killers, carrying out multiple tasks instead of one-off attack in an attempt to create maximum psychological terror. Its cyber branch is currently hacking security cameras around the world in an attempt to prevent its attackers to go without being caught while instilling the maximum amount of fear. ISIS members were sending links to security camera feeds in locations that include Chardon, Ohio, Taipei, Taiwan, Moscow, Russia, Jarovia, Virch, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Finland, Poland, Oldenburg, Germany, and Mexico. Alongside the camera feeds, they were also sending a link to a YouTube video on how to hack the security cameras from Axis Communications, which broadcast camera feeds over the internet. The service allows people to view camera feeds and control the cameras from any computer with an internet connection. Well, that's interesting information. Wait a minute, let me see if they got any video with this. No.
Get my second.
The ISIS communications were captured in mid-October by Black Ops Cyber, a private intelligence company. The information originated with the United Cyber Caliphate, which recently merged with another terrorist hacker group, the Caliphate Cyber Army. These ISIS hacker organizations typically focus only on spreading pro-ISIS propaganda. Okay. The plan being discussed by ISIS, according to Ed Alexander, chief intelligence officer of Black Ops Cyber, was to do attacks where those cameras are pointed and divert those cameras away from the target. Quote, they posted the YouTube link on how to exploit those cameras, Alexander said, and added they're working on it. Information on plot aligns with a recent ISIS propaganda that, according to an October 6 report from Express, a UK newspaper, is urging followers in the United States and Europe to become serial killers and carry out murders in cities, towns, and villages. According to Express, the propaganda urges terrorists to use knives in the attacks because it's easier to carry out large numbers of murders undetected, and to carry out the murders in secluded locations after dark to make it more difficult for authorities to catch them. New York Times also reported on October 26 that the United States quickly moved forward with its fight to retake Raqqa, Syria, to disrupt planning believed to be underway there to stage terrorist attacks on the West. It cited Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend and top U.S. military commander in Iraq, who it says declined to name any specific threats but said there is a sense of urgency. Alexander said that the information aligns with the communications as an organization captured. Our concern was this is for lone wolves to do the attacks, he said. According to the entire premise of it, was to be used for attacks. The YouTube video ISIS was spreading alongside the online camera feed shows how to take control of security cameras by using a basic cyber attack. The attack lets the terrorist change a camera's password and gain deep access to its system controls. Using this method, they can then control the cameras remotely. An unreleased Black Ops cyber intelligence report says our technical operatives reviewed the video and confirmed that the method is indeed viable. It is a rootkit exploit and would require few skills to execute. A rootkit exploit is something vulnerable to a tool known as a rootkit. The report recommends that the cameras running through open systems like these should require better security now that information about their vulnerability is spreading. The report adds our major concern is that by gaining control of a public surveillance camera, a lone wolf can point the cameras away from what they do not want us to see. Those lone wolves, they're just terrible. They're terrible. Yeah. Actually, if ISIS is pulling this kind of stuff off, or planning to, they're a lot smarter than their opposition, because it's excellent guerrilla warfare and something to remember for our side. I'll send this article along to you. It's pretty interesting.
I enjoy the notes from people, but there's like a group of, you know, I don't know how many. Sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 50, sometimes it's 8, and they just start sending all kinds of shit. And they send me political stuff and all that I immediately erase, and immediately get rid of, delete, whatever it is. I don't want to lie. I don't care about it. And so they go, hey, you told the story the other day, which is true, about two kids who tried to hit a guy and do the knockout thing, and they did. They got him, and the guy was an older guy, and I don't know how big or little he was or whatever, but these two kids decided he should be a target, and they tried to do the knockout game where they hit you as hard as you can, and one videos it, and you try and knock the person out or kill them with one punch. The guy got a gun. And this guy sent me, you know, he says, do you know that the kid he shot was 16 years old and the guy that they tried to hit ran him down and shot him and gunned him down in the back, shot him in the back. The kid was running away. How would you like it if that happened to your son? My kid wouldn't be playing the knockout game. And hello, I think it's perfectly all right. If you're a dumb 16-year-old thug and you're playing the knockout game and a really mean son of a bitch you fuck with gets a gun and shoots your fucking ass, you deserved every ounce of lead. Every ounce. I love these guys. They're 50 years old. Like those five guys that were accused of the rape of the woman in the park, and you find out they really are scumbags. And they all go, oh, when we were young, we were really bad. But now we've been in jail for 28 years, and we're okay now. We're nice people. Yeah, give them each $4 million apiece. They were scumbags then. They did something. They went to jail. Okay, if they didn't rape her, they raped somebody else probably. They certainly robbed people and hurt them. Jesus. It's unbelievable. Why are you laughing?
They got to be guilty somewhere at some point.
They are. They're guilty. That's when my dad used to spank me. I didn't do it. Well, you did something. You did something. I didn't do it. I didn't touch that. You know. Who was in my desk? I wasn't in it.
Any Latinos here? I didn't talk about the Mexicans. Let me, please. Good. Good. Let's get this Mexican shit straight. L.A. is Mexico. Don't let the white folks fool you. That's Mexico. If you don't believe it, take your Mexican friends to the border. They run right back to Los Angeles. Didn't the Mexicans have, in L.A., they had some, what's your holiday, Cinco, some shit? What is it? Cinco de Mayo. Oh, you scared white folks. Oh, thousands of white Mexicans came to downtown L.A., thousands of them. Got out the same car, scared the fuck out of white folks. And I like Mexicans in L.A., I don't know about here, but Mexicans, I like you guys. You guys are independent. You'll sell pencils, oranges on the side of the freeway. You don't give a fuck. Mexicans won't ask you for directions. They ain't asking nobody for shit. Niggas used to be like that before they got integrated, got like white folks and went crazy. Because we didn't been all kind of things. We've been colored, Negro, black, African, been all that shit. It's true. You guys are going to be all kind of names. Isn't that a bitch? How come we just can't be free? That's what I want. Totally. White folks' favorite TV commercial is that you got to be a little wrinkled, black, shriveled up raisin. Little nigga raisin with a hat. They think that shit is cute. Singing. Heard it through the grapevine. Oh, look at the cute nigga raisin. Heard it through the grapevine. Look, they've gone nigga fucking raisin crazy. They made Ray Charles a raisin. Oh, fucking, he's blind. What I say? Then I looked up one morning, and Michael Jackson was a goddamn raisin. I said, they've gone nigga fucking raisin crazy. And the shit ain't cute. I bet if I get me some marshmallows and put some arms and legs on them goddamn marshmallows and let them sing Surfing USA, they won't think that shit's so goddamn cute. No, it won't be cute then. White folks are calling and bitching shit. I'm not a goddamn marshmallow. What crazy nigga wrote this commercial? Fucking marshmallow. And they give all the cute commercials to white people. What you eating, white people? Oh, you've seen this shit. They make me want to rewrite the commercial. What's 10 inches in white? See, it's not cute no more. I don't like this inch shit. I want nigger raisins. And give the black folks a commercial. We can be cute. What you eating, nigger? What you eating, nigger? Fuck you. You eat your cereal, we'll eat ours. We know how to be cute. It's the end of the goddamn world. It really is the end of the world. It's the end. It is. I saw a Chinese man driving a school bus this morning. It fucked me up. I went to a Chinese wedding 3 days ago. It was beautiful. I threw rice and they beat the shit out of me. And don't let Chinese people fool you. They didn't invent rice. Rice doesn't come from China. Rice came from Africa, like a lot of shit. We invented a lot of shit from Africa, okay? That's where rice came from. The piano, they found it in Africa. The English found it in the middle of the jungle, took it to England, put white keys on it, fucked it up. So Uncle Ben's black ass belongs on the box. Because we introduced rice to Chinese people. We scared them. We threw the rice at them. They said, don't touch it. Pick it up with sticks. The rest is history.